So obviously, if you're sitting here at 10 o'clock, you already know we're into a routine over the it's a 6 week program we're doing where we're leading up to the birth of Christ. And this is week three. And each week there is a subject matter that was chosen. And we've got a little bit of a format to work around. I said to somebody last week, I said, I'm not used to that. I usually kind of have something that hits me during the course of the week, and, you know, it's not structured. It's just kind of, it comes out, and sometimes it goes off in a couple different directions. So I got to kind of try and work with something I was given today, but I think I got it figured out. I kind of already forgot how I laid it out with Andrew, but he always nails it for me, so once I see it, I'll get it again. We'll be fine. But I was really thrilled with the subject that I, you know, just luck it through naming the hat with Dave and Roger, and I was thrilled with the subject I got for today, God's peace. And you know, some of you that know me and have seen me up here before know that I can get emotional based on the subject, and this is one of them. That's, you know, it doesn't work very well to get emotional when you're up here talking to people, so I'll try to avoid that. But this one really hit home, and hopefully, as Eric said this morning, something that is said today resonates and goes home with us. I've already taken it home with me, so to speak. And as much as I prefer just sitting out there listening to Roger and Dave and the other guys, I do feel blessed when I get the opportunity because of what I gained throughout the course of the week. Now, you ask my wife and my daughter, you know, depending on my mood that day, they don't experience it like I do, and I don't always share it like I should with them, but trust me, hopefully this kind of hits you the way it hit me. God's peace. Now, I always like to give my sermon a title, even though I was kind of given one, I still threw one on there and tagged it, And if I were to title this to what I'm going to talk about today, I would call it, Thanks for Being There, God. Because that's kind of how I felt after I read some of the scripture and just dug a little deeper. I'm going to start out with, first of all, the definition of peace. It's a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And I think that definition really comes into play when we talk about God's peace and what's going on around us in our lives today. And then the term at peace is in a state of concord or tranquility. So when you're at peace, you know, with God, there's that tranquility, there's that feeling of calm, there's that feeling of just that burden's been lifted, that weight has been taken off of you, and you're no longer struggling. On the other side of it, I think when I hear the word tranquility, I always think about, and everybody gets to a different type of peace. Now, we're going to be talking specifically about God's peace, but everybody gets to a different place in peace. I always think about the guys that were sitting there with their legs crossed, something that I could never interlock my legs like they do, but the guy sitting there with his leg crossed, and he's humming, and he's got his, you know, hands like this, and maybe some incense going and all that, and that's what I always picture when I think about that, the groove or the tranquility. But that's not the peace we're talking about today. It may feel similar in some ways, but it's not the same kind of peace. I pass a sign on the way to church when I come on Sundays, and that sign really played into what I wanted to talk about today. I'm not that kind of person, typically, that would put a big sign out in the front yard. I'm not very in your face, out, you know, out front. I wish I was a little bit more, but these people always have a sign in their front yard, and they change it from time to time. And currently, and what you think about peace when I read this, it says, "What are your plans after you die?" ? And then it references John 3:16. Now, when you put those two things together, that's very powerful. When you think about, you know, God giving his only son, that you may have everlasting life. So that answers the question. Hopefully it answers the question. Now, the majority of days when I go past there and I read that sign, this sign in particular, they always have something thought-provoking out there. When I read this sign, I feel that peace. But not always. There are some days when I've driven by this current sign and I didn't feel the peace. I almost felt that opposite. Like, maybe I missed something that week. Maybe I just wasn't the person I needed to be. And that scared me a little bit. So that peace that we're talking about is tied to God in your life and how you are as a Christian. You can't attain that peace just by, you know, flipping a coin or crossing your fingers or, you know, oh, I hope it works out. That's not how you get that peace. I have a picture, I think. Now, show of hands, does anybody know or think they know where I'm at? Correct. So I'm not the only one. Good. So this was last Sunday night. Obviously, me and my wife Denise. Taking the picture is my daughter Kendall. We had just arrived, keep in mind. She's 14 years old, and she was not quite ready to smile yet. So she is taking the picture. I, on the other hand, this was, I know Kendall loves this term, this was for family fun last Sunday night. She was going one way or another, whether she liked it or not. Because I'm at that point in life where, and you know, it's usually, and I'd say it was about halfway through, I think I saw her start to, you know, she probably didn't want me to notice it, but I think she was smiling about halfway through. Which is why we still do the Force Family Fun from time to time. Because as I remind her, I'm going to look back and, you know, she's going to look back and hopefully she's going to remember some of these things that we did together. The reason I really push for it and the reason I show this picture this morning is because of the tie into peace. Life's hectic right now, a lot going on. And it doesn't always go the way we want it to. But I remembered when I was a kid going to Christmas Village with my parents. And I remember those feelings that I got when I went there. And I needed that. I needed to relive that last Sunday night. And thankfully it all worked out. And the reason I tied that in with the whole peace thing is because we're going to reference some scripture and we're going to talk about, and let me lay out the basics here. We're talking about Joseph today and what and Joseph's part in the Christmas story and the birth of Christ. And peace is what is being referenced when they're talking about Joseph. But one of the things they talk about in one of the scriptures is it talks about chaos and the chaos around you and how you are still able to find that peace with all the chaos around you. And we think about today, our world today, how chaotic it is. I mean, I don't care if it's personal life. I don't care if it's jobs. I mean, just everything. You know, even in your personal life, you know, you've got a family you love dearly, and there's just so many outside influences that just beat away at you and make it hard, you know. And we got there, and we got there shortly after open. I wanted to try and beat the crowd. Didn't beat it. But it wasn't too crazy. I figured, it's a Sunday night, won't be as bad, so we'll get there and we'll beat the crowd. Well, we didn't beat the crowd per se. So we kind of get in there and there's a traffic jam, so to speak, log jam of people. And it's just obviously a lot of young kids. Awesome. That's the way it should be. A lot of baby strollers. And it's just backed up and it's just trying to get around. And I was thinking about that chaos. And everybody's talking, there's different conversations, and you got the Christmas carols going on. And there were at least two moments during the course of that walk around Christmas Village. If you know what it's like, you basically follow a path. They guide you, otherwise it would be complete chaos down there. but they guide you through Christmas Village and lights and different carols come on. And there were at least two moments that night where I experienced that peace. And it was like nothing else was going on around me. And I think God plays a part in the fact that I was able to do that. And I like to think he knows that I needed it that night, you know, and he gave it to me. So, but yeah, there was just times when it was just like all I could see was those Christmas lights around me. And I could see the children, and I could see my family, but I couldn't really hear them. It just kind of, wow. And that's the peace that hopefully we talk about. And the peace that Joseph, in the midst of everything that was going on around him, was able to experience. You know, lighten my mood a little bit, you know, talk about humor and peace and chaos. Last night, if you were a Penn State fan, a little crazy, a little chaos. And what do you know? If you stayed up and you watched the game, they won. Now, if you're a football fan, and everybody knows I usually throw a little sports into my conversation. If you're a football fan, you know that there's a selection committee that decides who plays for the national championship in college football. They were probably feeling pretty good in the first half of last night's game. And again, I apologize because you have to really follow college football, but the quick version is, by Penn State losing, they would have made it pretty cut and dry. They could have just did what they were going to do and no big deal. But with Penn State winning, they're going to make a decision that is going to potentially anger a lot of football fans on one side of the table or the other. But as I mentioned to Tom, either way you look at it, they're still the Big Ten champions. So that's a good thing. But that's that chaos and how fleeting it can be, and that peace and how fleeting it can be. It can come and go. And we know in our personal lives that even if we find peace with God, you know, it escapes us often, me anyway. And if you know me coming up here and speaking and talking, that I do not speak for you. I speak from the turmoils in my life and the flaws in my life. So be aware of that, this is, if I'm talking about it, it's something that I probably struggled with personally. So, but, you know, you have that peace, and it doesn't always stay with you 100% of the time. It comes and it goes. And you know, it's the important part, and this is when you talk about Joseph, and I never realized it until I started reading the scripture around the birth of Christ and leading up to the birth of Christ, that how peaceful Joseph was during this whole time. You know, the other quick sports reference, and I'll get it and move on, but last Thursday, I'm watching football, which is my job on Thanksgiving Day, by the way. Favorite holiday, that's what I do. But I'm watching a football game, and afterwards, I think it was the Minnesota kicker, if I'm not mistaken. How was it, Detroit or Minnesota? The field goal kicker that kicked all the field goals. Anyway, kicks a field goal at the end of the game, wins the game, and he actually got the Turkey Award. First time a kicker has, it was a three-way, they gave it a three-way tie. First time a kicker's ever been awarded. And it stuck with me till I started doing the message for today about peace. And they asked him about, and I've often thought this, that how stressful being a kicker has to be. One of the easiest jobs in football, I mean, they really don't practice a whole lot. I mean, you go out there, kick a ball, and a lot of them are out of shape, per se, you know, compared to the other football players, you know, and it really don't spend much time on the field, but get paid pretty well. But man, the stress, you know, how quickly you can lose your job too if you're not doing your job. But he was asked about how stressful and what's going on in his mind. He says, yeah, I don't really notice, you know, you're 60,000-70,000 people. He says, yeah, I don't really notice. I'm just going out there to kick a ball. I don't really pay attention or notice. You know, and I thought about, and it's like Joseph's like, to some extent, he had to be shutting some of that stuff out. Or, as we will read and find out through Scripture, he had went to God, and God helped him to find that peace. Main Scripture, if you don't mind, real quick, Andrew. I picked this one out because one thing in here. The main Scripture, I'm sorry. You still have the main Scripture handy? Thank you. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. Remember that part about gentleness as well, because that really, I found out a lot about that when I talked about peace, finding peace. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So the peace of God, you go to God and you ask, and you receive the peace of God. Don't even try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it. Accept it, and it'll guard your heart. And basically, that to me really summed up a lot of what we're going to talk about in these next scriptures. And one of the other things you talk about peace real quick, you know, the compassion, and I thought about this, and I always try to put things in terms of everyday life and how we function in today's society. And I thought about compassion. It talked about Joseph putting Mary and ahead of everything else, and the one thing I came up with, I thought about, picture your wife, your girlfriend. She comes to you, and she got a new outfit. And she asked you how you like it. She said, honey, what do you think of my new outfit? And you could tell when you look at her how she feels about it. She's in love with it. She loves that outfit. It's making her feel good. And you're not real thrilled about it, though. And you're going out. Maybe you're going somewhere with some of your friends or your company or work or whatever. And your first inclination is, you got like 5 other outfits in there I like a lot better, honey. But setting that aside and not thinking of yourself, you say, you know what, hon, I love it. You look awesome. And that's the compassion part. That's the compassion part. Now, that's a no-brainer if you're a smart husband. You should make that call no matter what. But, or a good boyfriend. So, but that being said, that is compassion. That's what I'm talking about, putting others ahead of you. And it really keyed on that when it talked about finding peace. And you think about it, the old adage about it's better to give than to receive. Yeah, okay, it's nice when you get up and you see something under the tree. But, man, don't you feel great when you give something to somebody? That's the compassion. And that, man, that was one of the things that just floored me this week when I read about that whole compassion angle. So we're going to get into some scripture now. And the context of the video that we'll see later is built around Matthew 18 through 25, I believe, yeah. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And this is where the whole compassion angle came into play. You know, what do I do with Mary? You know, Joseph's first inclination, we talked about this last week a little bit. Back then, they weren't married yet. You know, they were out of wedlock, and she's going to have a kid. Yeah, society's really lightened up a lot, but even in today's society, you might get some strange looks, you know? And Joseph is, you know, wow, you know, what do I do? I mean, everybody in the village, if he basically goes along with this, is going to look at him like he's an idiot. You know, think about that. Think about in today's day and age, you know, the compassion set aside, you know, what would you do in that situation? You know, hey, honey, I'm pregnant. Through the Holy Spirit. Okay, sure. You don't mind if we get the DNA test done, do you? I mean, think about that. So here's Joseph, and he basically, you know, has got a lot on his plate, potentially got a kid on the way. I don't know at that point, to be honest with you. Man, it's hard to believe, but I mean, I assume at that point he's already obviously found the peace of God. Because, you know, your second thought is yeah, right, you know, the Son of God, really? Well, Mary, why? You know, why would he pick her? So he's got to be just going insane inside, you know, trying to, but it all boiled down to compassion and God, you know, God's peace. And he basically put everything aside. He's got to make this trek to Bethlehem, and he just puts it all aside and thinks about Mary. And that's the compassion piece of it. And then we go on. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived from her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So, you know, he didn't run. He didn't just take off. He didn't just go off the deep end. And the angel came to him. And now at this point, he's got to feel a lot better. He's got some substantial, something in your face proof, you know. Even if he was just taking the high road and just really accepting what God, you know, what was being given to him, this had to make him feel better. And I think this was God's way of just helping him experience that peace a little more. And, you know, that's, you know, I think God sometimes will know that when we need that little extra helping hand, and that's what this was. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So again, we've talked over the past few weeks and leading up, every week we talk about, as we watch the video, try to, you know, look out for things where God fulfilled the prophecy and things that were written in the Bible and how things were going to play out. And this was just all part of that. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As a side bonus, you know, Joseph knows he's got a son coming ahead of time, you know, and wow. Think about, you know, the fact that you're going to be helping raise the Son of God, you know, our Savior. So his compassion, his prayer to God all paid off. And, you know, we talk about obedience and basically Joseph let God speak to him. You know, those are the three pieces of this scripture. There was a compassion piece. Okay, just don't go off the deep end. Hang in there. You know, there's Matthew 20-23, the prayer where he just goes to God and God basically hears him and talks to him through an angel. And then there's the obedience part of it. And that's the part sometimes that gets tricky. You know, Joseph did what God wanted him to do. And followed God's plan and basically made prophecy come true. But that obedience part, when you think about in today's day and age, you know, I think about the danger. If you open up your mind and your hearts to God, and you hear what he's saying to you, and this is scary, and I've struggled with this, but, you know, there's a danger in hearing what God wants you to do. Because what if you hear what God wants you to do and you don't do it? I don't know if anybody else out there has ever thought about that, but I do. And that's scary. But Joseph was obedient. He opened up his heart, he listened to God, and he did everything that God wanted him to do. You know, we're going to watch this video and remember what we talked about. Remember about, I think specifically, the one piece of the puzzle that really stuck out to me was the compassion piece. Because I think that's where it all starts. If you put others before yourself, something that I don't do as much as I should, if you put others before yourself, I think everything else starts falling together. I think God kind of had planned that way. You know, if you feel that compassion for your fellow human being, whether it be family, friend, coworker, whatever the case may be, if you feel compassion in one way, shape, or form or another, and compassion doesn't always present itself to the other person as they may want it to, because let's face it, in life it's difficult sometimes to express gratitude. It's difficult sometimes to help others in our lives, and the compassion that we're expressing doesn't always maybe come across as compassion in the way that you normally think of it as. I think that's most evident sometimes with our spouses, our loved ones, and our children, our family members. That compassion doesn't always present itself properly. But having that compassion, I think, is a big piece of the puzzle. After we watch this video coming up, you know, we'll have a little time to discuss and again, just break down based on some of what we talked about this morning. I truly hope that, again, I've already taken home my piece of this, but hopefully somebody takes home something I said this morning that's helpful, makes it worthwhile. think about some of the things, the hardships in your life maybe, and where compassion maybe, and listening to God and being obedient and praying, again, a big piece of the puzzle, prayer, might make a difference in your life and might really help you to feel that and find that peace in your lives, because, again, life is very hectic nowadays and very chaotic. God gave us some tools, some of the scripture we talked about today. You'll get a good example in Joseph this morning when we watch this video of peace. We're going to sing a closing song. While we sing that, you have the opportunity to come forward. If you have any needs of the church, share those with us. We'll take them to God. Behind me is a baptismal that's always warm and ready. If anyone is ready to prepare to receive the Lord in their life and has not been baptized. And I think that's it. I think that's my deal this morning. So if you rise and sing, please.